Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah in chapter 9. Tis the season, right? It's Christmas time. Everybody's in a good mood, seemingly. I had a little thought this morning, a little epiphany. What if everybody that gave Pastor Rader, your loving pastor, Pastor Tim Rader, gave him a Christmas card? What if everybody that gave him a Christmas card next year put a $5 bill in it? What do you think? Man, I could have as much as $10 by the end of the Christmas season. it was just a thought. I guess it's not going to fly. All right, that is fine. 43 years of preaching Christmas sermons. If I preach a Christmas sermon three times, or three Sundays and twice a Sunday every December for 43 years, that's 258 Christmas sermons. I don't have that many funny stories. I don't have that many. I've made all these feeble attempts at trying to bring something new and something fresh to Christmas. But the fact is, the person of Christmas is who it's all about. He never gets old. The object of Christmas, the salvation of the world, man, that never gets to be an old story. Never. And I trust this morning, as we look briefly in the, I was going to say the Gospel of Isaiah, because it truly is a gospel. 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And in those 66 chapters, it's all about Jesus. It's all about manifesting Christ. And we have all kinds of Christmas prophecies, the incarnation, the prophecies concerning the incarnation in the book of Isaiah. So we'll spend a little bit of time here this morning and trust that maybe God will get a hold of our hearts in a new and a fresh way. And you know I'm going to end up in verse 6. All right? Those of you that have been coming here for a long time, you know I'm going to end up in verse 6. I will not close in verse 6. I'll close with the government being upon his shoulders. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. But verse 6 of chapter 9 is going to be the bulk and the core of the message. The name that is above all names. The name that is too wonderful for me to tell. I cannot even grasp the deepness of the name of the Son of God. 198 names used for Jesus according to Cruden's Concordance. 950 names and titles given to God in the Word of God. Names and titles. And the mere mention of his name. Not my message this morning. We don't even need to turn there to start with, but there's a day coming in Philippians in chapter 2 when every knee shall bow of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. If you've been coming to the adult Sunday school class, you were right about that passage of Scripture where all of heaven rejoices and all of earth rejoices proclaiming the King of Kings. The name that is above every name. Isaiah chapter 9. Greatest story ever told. Earthly beginning in Bethlehem. The incarnation. Then the crucifixion. Then the resurrection. And one day, coronation. That's not my outline. That just flows through the book of Isaiah, though. A great darkness has come over the land of Israel. The tribes to the north have been invaded by the Assyrians. And it's going to get worse. This is what the prophet Isaiah says. It says in verse 1, stand with me, we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll read. Everyone standing. Father, I need your help to preach this message this morning. Can't preach it on my own, and I don't have anything to say on my own. Apart from the word of God, there's nothing worth saying. So Father, I pray this morning you'd help me to be a Bible preacher. Make it real, make it alive, speak to all of our hearts. I want to preach this morning about Jesus, the name above all names. I want to preach this morning about that name Jesus and that person Jesus who came to save his people from their sins. God, I want everybody to know within the sound of my voice, whether they're hearing it through an instrument or right here in the auditorium, that Jesus saves. And that is the purpose of the incarnation. I pray that everyone that hears the message this morning will be given hope. They'll know there is a Savior above. This world isn't all there is. And He's the only one that makes it all make sense. God, would you bless this morning? I beg for your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, and in Galilee of the nations. Go ahead and be seated. Israel is being invaded from the north by the Assyrians. After the Assyrians come the Babylonians. After that come the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. Israel is being judged by God because of Israel turning its back on the one true God of heaven. And if God loved Israel and God judges Israel, when Israel does wrong, the same is true for America. And we are, I believe, under the judgment hand of God. And God, I believe, is calling his people back. It says in verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. There's a glimmer of hope. It's the Messiah. It's Jesus. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, that's Israel, upon them hath the light shined. You go to the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and you read that that light is Jesus. That light that entered into the world and brought light with him is Jesus. He is the only hope for this nation in which we live. He's the only hope for this culture in which we live. He's the only hope for this wicked world in which we live. Thou hast multiplied the nation, this is Israel, and not increased the joy. So Israel is having harvests and prospering a little bit. And there's always joy at harvest time, but it's not reality. It's because of increase. It says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. It's a false joy. There's a lot of false joy in the world in which we live today. There is. There are a lot of people, you can get a bottle, get a drug, get a needle, get a pill, get around some music, and it's a false joy. It's a facade. It's an empty joy. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. Here's the good news. The rod of his oppression, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. There is a great toll being taken on the nation in which we live and on the in this world in which we live. But this shall be with burning and fuel and fire. Talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, verse 6. That's where I want to spend just a little bit of time. His name is wonderful. We're going to read about in this one verse, his incarnation and his coronation. It's going to skip ahead. It's going to talk about his birth in Bethlehem. I'm going to refer to that. And it's going to skip all the way to ahead when he is crowned King of Kings. So it is a vast period of time that is being covered in verse 6. And the truth and the titles given to Jesus in verse 6 carry on not only through that vast period of time, but for all of eternity. It says in verse 6, for unto us a child is born. And you know this, I'm sure you do. The incarnation, the birth of Christ is about the incarnation. The incarnation is about deity. If you miss the incarnation, if you miss the deity of Christ, then you have nothing. You have nothing. Because it's God that visited this world. He says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And I circled the word given in my Bible because it reminds me of the Christmas season and the gifts that are exchanged. And the greatest gift of all is the Son of God being given by God the Father to this world. His blood being shed. The gift of eternal life. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God, a Savior, a child was born. A Savior has been given to this world. Were it not for Jesus, there's no glimmer of hope. There's no ray of light in this world. You take Jesus out of the world in which we're living right now. There are people that are cold and indifferent, and they're an empty shell. They have no peace. They have no purpose. That is the culture without Christ. The world is being influenced by social media from every direction. If you were in Sunday school this morning, I'll say some more about it in the future. And I'm just going to throw this out real quick. I want you to look into it, parents. TikTok is evil. There is a purpose to it. It's owned by the Chinese government. So the latest research says the average person between 15 and 25, it could be 15 and 35, is influenced towards suicide 45 minutes a week. It's just being poured in all the time. Just people not thinking, just being entertained. And I'm just saying this. It is an empty, dark, sad world in which we live. And it's going to get darker, and it's going to get colder, and it's going to get sadder apart from the light of Jesus Christ, apart from the child that has been given. And look what it says here. His name, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to handle it. That day is coming. He'll be King of Kings. That's his coronation. He'll rule over the entire universe. He'll rule not only over this world, this earth, during the 1,000-year kingdom of Christ, but he'll rule. It's an eternal kingdom, the scripture says, and it'll be forever and ever and ever. And he's my Father. He's my Savior. His name is Jesus. And as dark as this world gets, the best is yet to come. Were it not, and here's the hope that the prophet Isaiah is giving to the people of Israel. They're invading in the north. They're invading from the sea. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Romans, they're coming from every direction. We're under the judgment hand of God. But there's a Savior coming. A baby. A child has been given. And his name shall be Wonderful. Now in the Hebrew, there is a play on words with the word wonderful and counselor. And so you can put it together. It could be a combination word, wonderful counselor. But he is wonderful all by himself. Make no mistake about it. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Same book, Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. Psalm 139:6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. David said, such knowledge, the knowledge of God, is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. I cannot. It's like trying to fit the ocean in a thimble to the power of 10. There's no way I'm as deep as God. There's no way. God is just too wonderful for me. The prophet Isaiah, let me get there, 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Forget it, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What a wonderful, awesome God we serve. The word wonderful here is an adjective. I know that. And that's why it's kind of hard to even wrap my words. He's over the top. He's my cup runneth over, and my saucer as well. He's the greatest God a man could ever have. He is the ultimate God, the ultimate King. He visited this earth in the form of a child, deity incarnated to this world and became man and never ceased to be God. And then he went to the cross and paid for my sin. And he loves me. He went there knowing I would still sin after I'm adopted into the family of God. After I was redeemed, and he still loves me. And I've sinned since the day of my salvation, many times multiplied over, sometimes completely rebelled against God in my heart, and he still loves me. He's too wonderful for me. What a Savior. A child is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He has all the answers. Infinite wisdom. Go to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. Matthew 13 and verse 54. He's the answer. As soon as you got it, look up here. The answer is not another seminar. The answer is not another booklet where you fill in the blanks and someone leads you in a study. If that's all you're looking for, that's all you're going to get. He is far above that. He's the answer to every problem you have. And he has the answer for every problem I have. I have no problem except God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the answer. Matthew 13, verse 54 says, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary?" They knew the family. "And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us?" He had little sisters. He had little brothers. "Whence then hath this man all these things?" They said, "Never a man spake like this man. When he was 12 years old, he sat in the synagogue and baffled the rabbis, the leading teachers." This is a wonderful counselor. He is the answer to your problem. Please, it's not another podcast. It's not another lesson that's really put together real well, and it's alliterated, and it's what a wonderful speaker, what a wonderful thought. How about, what a wonderful, wonderful counselor? How about what a wonderful God? How about a God that's over the top? You talk about Christmas, and Christmas, what it's all about, the gift of God, a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. How about the mighty God? Isaiah 37 and verse 16. Same book, Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 16. "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth." I like it the way the prophet said it. Thou art the God. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. I mean, he made it all. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. We could go to passage after passage after passage. He is the mighty God. Why look anywhere else? He is the mighty God, deity, God the Son, prophesied 700 years before he visited this earth, the Messiah. No problem as big as God. No storm as mighty as God. He is the mighty God. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9 again, verse 6. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Again in the book of Isaiah 40 and verse 28. "He is a forever God, and he invites us to intimacy." A forever God. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding?" Everlasting. Forever. Romans chapter 8, let's all go there. Romans chapter 8, I may spend a minute there. Verse 14, his deity is clear. Everlasting, mighty God, wonderful counselor, everlasting Father. That a wretch such as I would be invited to be part of his family. That a worm like myself could be in the same family as the Son of God. That I would be called a joint heir with Christ. And it sounds blasphemous. No deity, will never sprout angel's wings, will never be above that, will never be deity. Never, never, never. But we'll be sinners saved by grace. Will be saints of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." That's the best I deserve. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And if children, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Our God has invited us to intimacy. Okay, let's put this in the light of Christmas. presents, festive music, lots of good food, family. It's wonderful to be together. People seem to be happier than they are other times. You ever wonder about that? You know, it's like maybe something special happened in this world one time. You know, God visited this earth. Romans 9 and verse 6 again says, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The world is looking for peace. And it doesn't have any. Apart from our Savior. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have been given the gift of a Savior. Eternal life wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Forever, forever family in the incarnation where the Son of God visited this earth. You know the story. It was told to the shepherds. He was in a stable. Wise men didn't come till later. The angels announced it to humble people because somebody needed to know. Somebody needed to worship because divinity had come to this earth. What a powerful God we serve. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let me read a couple more verses. And of the increase of the government and the peace, there shall be, and peace there shall be no end. So it's going to be a forever kingdom when the coronation takes place and Jesus is proclaimed God and King of Kings. It's going to be a forever kingdom. The kingdom will know no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Number two, it will be ordered and established with justice. It'll be a righteous government. Amen. And it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Nothing halfway, nothing half-baked. There is a great day coming. There is a great kingdom coming. And we have a great king that will be seated upon the throne. It's the Christmas season, and it's all about exchanging gifts. What could you give the Father who has everything? How about your heart? How about the very reason he was born in a manger and took on the robe of flesh, an eternal soul? How about you bring someone to Christ this Christmas season? Well, that's better than anything you could wrap up in pretty Christmas paper. Say, preacher, I'm really not into that. You ought to be. It is the calling of every child of God. If you're born again, you're to go and tell it. If you're born again, you're to confess Christ before men. That is our calling. I got a letter this week, and this is. A pat on the back for somebody here in the church. Don't know who it is. I don't know who this letter is from. In fact, they're not from this church. It says, to Senior Pastor Radar. So I know it's not from this church. But Radar really bugs me, by the way. If you want to get Pastor Radar a little uptight, he'll never say it to you, except for, you just spell my name Radar. Boy, that bugs me to no end. All right. So, but anyway, Senior Pastor Radar. Says, hello, I'm a single man, a single Christian man who attends church and prayer services regularly. I help with the music ministry and sermons, and I'm a new member of the board. I also take the word of God into very dark places to minister to those who are in need or who need to hear his word. I do this because of the scripture given unto me by God 32 years ago, and he quotes it. However, the last 2 years of my life have been rough, particularly the last 2 months. This past Tuesday, I was backing out of my driveway en route to Meijer to shop, and I said, God, I don't think I can go on, and I really don't want to live any longer. Take me home. After shopping at Meijer, I was at the self-checkout, and out of nowhere comes an elderly woman who hands me your church tract and says to keep freedom ringing through the universe. Now, by the way, if that elderly woman is here this morning and you're not really elderly, don't take this bad. Don't take it to heart, right? I mean, it could be a 45-year-old young lady, and he thinks he's out. Okay, all right, so praise God for that elderly woman. She disappeared as fast as she showed up, leaving me with the track in my hand. Do you know how a Christian man who is struggling views this? I view it as God using this elderly woman to send me a message saying to me, don't give up. I'll be with you. Keep on going. That simple act of kindness and faith of an elderly woman can not only change the direction of a man's life, it can save his life. Amen and thank you. Sincerely, a Christian man who is still alive. You don't know what handing out tracts does. Behind every face is a story. Yesterday, unfortunately, I was at Walmart, all right? And I was sitting on the bench waiting for my wife to get done shopping. I went back and found her. She was talking to some ladies. I have no idea who those ladies were. And I walked up to the shopping cart and I said, this is why shopping takes so long. You got to visit with everybody in there. They both laughed. She laughed. Get out of here. Okay. I went back and sat on the bench. And a man drove up in one of those electric carts, an older man. Said, sir, could you watch this while I go to the restroom? I said, I sure will. He went in. I started looking through pulled out my wallet, pulled out a gospel tract, waiting for him to come back. And he came back, and I said, well, you didn't get a parking ticket or nothing. It's still here waiting for you. Thank you very much. Sir, would you read this when you've got a moment? And I could tell he was like, and a lot of people, some people are this way. They're not. A lot of people aren't anti-God. They're anti-cult. They think we're a cult, right? Or wacko. Oh, man, a crazy man. You know. So, and I said, no, listen, I'm Pastor Rader. I can see it in his eyes. I'm Pastor Rader. I'm a regular guy. This is a gospel tract. It'll tell you how to be saved. And he kind of reached out hesitantly. And right then, somebody else said, hey, Pastor Rader, how you doing? I'm telling you, three people in a row. And my eyes are still going back to him because I want to talk to him. But I could see that he was put at ease because he found out he was talking to a real pastor. Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Everybody kind of took over. But you handle gospel tracts. I'm kind of expecting to see that old man in heaven one day. You know, be faithful in giving out gospel tracts. That's where this message is going this morning. We have a wonderful God. He's over the top, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's exactly what the world is singing for this Christmas season. He's exactly what the world is looking for. D.L. Moody said this. He made a commitment to God. I will not let one day pass except I speak to someone about my Savior. And many times in his writings, he'd say, he'd get up in the middle of the night, lay his pillow on his head, and realize, oh, I didn't talk to anybody today. And he'd go out on the streets of Chicago, and he would find somebody, and lo and behold, lead somebody to Christ. It was like it was a divine appointment. And if he could do that every day, don't you think you and I could do that, make a little commitment to God and say, I'll not let a week go by except I talk to at least one person about my Savior. Hey, that's not hard. That's not aggressive. That's normal Christianity. That's just speaking about the person you love. You know, you talk about the people you love. I love Jesus the most. A gift for God this holiday season. He'd want nothing more than a precious soul. You're going to do some Christmas shopping. You're going to have an opportunity. You're going to run into people on the road, on the street. You're going to see people in parking lots. People are going to come to your house. You're going to go to their house. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities. There are Christmas tracts back there in the track rack. Take them, use them for the glory of God. We got a brand new track. It's redone. You might look at this track. It's about the ministries. You can hand this out to somebody. On the back's a gospel. Inside, there might be a picture of you in here. These are brand new pictures. Some picture of some of your kids. Some of your grandkids are in there as well. And just, hey, here's a church. It's the same theme, just a country church, but what a God. Man, and it just, it's not, get the gospel out. Use those Christmas tracts in the back. Talk to people about Christ. Tonight there's going to be visitors here. Talk to them about Christ. Don't buttonhole them. Don't be overly aggressive. Be very natural. Tell them how much you love Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.